will help me with the communion. And we'll... I thought he was... I don't think sometimes we put enough confidence in the communion. We don't put the confidence in it that God wants us to put in it. He literally told us to take this for our healing. And Paul said that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they do not discern the body of Christ. This is the best medicine for man that has ever been made. There's never been a better medicine for our bodies than the Holy Communion. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but before that, he got whipped for our healing. And when he was on that cross, he took all of our sicknesses and diseases upon him. All of them, even the ones that haven't been invented yet, he took those. See, in the curse, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, after the blessings, they go through the curse, and it's a long, drawn-out, nasty thing. And they said, even sicknesses that haven't even been thought of will come upon you. Well, Jesus took those sicknesses for you on that cross. So there's nothing that the devil can come up with that Jesus hasn't already defeated. He took it all. And I don't care how long and how hard the name is to pronounce that the doctors come up with for some of these diseases, Jesus has already defeated it. And he told us to turn to him. Look unto Jesus. You know, the children were in the wilderness and they got in trouble and they got bit by serpents. And Moses said, what do I do? And God said to take a bronze serpent. Bronze is significant of sin in the Bible. And put it on a pole. This is a type and shadow of Jesus. So those that look under that serpent, they'll be all right. The ones that don't, they died. Well, when these people looked at that bronze serpent, they seen their sin on that cross as being dealt with. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to look at Jesus, see Jesus on that cross. See him, his beaten and bruised body, his torn up body with the stripes on his back and his hands and feet and his forehead and his side pierced. See him on that cross holding all of your sickness, taking all of your sicknesses on him. So, Father, we're taking of the broken body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for our healing and our well-being, and we thank you that by his stripes we were healed. That blood of Jesus was not spilled. That makes it sound like an accident. You know, if you accidentally spill your milk. It was shed on purpose. It was a violent and vicious sacrifice. God knew that the only way to redeem man was through the blood of His Son. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into the throne room of grace as if nothing ever happened. Because as far as God is concerned, because of the sacrifice of His Son that He sees perfect, which is what He's looking at, you're perfect. Jesus did a perfect work in you. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we are in right standing with our Heavenly Father. We've been redeemed and justified and washed clean. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. All right. We're going to get back to our study on daydreaming. See, God created you to be a daydreamer. And then we go to school, and some of us, they nearly have to beat us half to death to get us to stop daydreaming. But thank God that they didn't get it completely beat out of me. Because I still daydream. And now, I have a Bible for it. He wants us to visualize our results. He wants us to actually meditate on our results and visualize our results before we even pray. He wants us to see ourselves the way we need to be. Now, you're gonna see yourself one way or another. You're going to visualize yourself one way or another. You can visualize yourself victorious or you can visualize yourself defeated. But you're going to think about whatever situation you're in. You can visualize yourself as not having enough or you can visualize yourself as abundantly supplied and being able to meet every need that comes across. But whatever you vision in your life, that's going to come to pass. See, the Bible tells us that as a man believeth in his heart, so is he. We found out that the spies, when they went into Israel, there were two different groups. There were 10 of them that went in there. They seen themselves as grasshoppers. And they came back with a bad report. But there was two in there. The Bible tells us they had a different spirit. And they came back and they said, man, this is a land flowing with milk and honey, and you should see the grapes. There's some giants in there, but we can take this. We got this handled. See, they seen themselves differently. Now, they both had the same promises from God. They both had the same God. They had the same covenant. They had the same mission from God. But it's the way they seen themselves that ruled the day. See, there's people, there's millions of people that go to church every Sunday. And they got the same Bible. You know, they may be a different translation. They got the same Bible. But they have a completely different outlook. I run into them all the time. I run into Christians with a completely defeated attitude. So this world is just going to hell in a handbasket, and we're all going to be dead in a couple years anyway. What's the point? See, you didn't get that from the Bible. You got the same Bible. Why don't you open it up and read it and find out what God has to say about your situation instead of what the world says about your situation. Now, also, in our adventure, we found out in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, that we're redeemed from the curse of the law. There's a lot of Christians that are running around terrified that if they make a mistake, they're going to get punished from God. What they're actually doing is trying to live their life according to the Old Testament law. Also, we found out in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. For he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's very important. That means you've been put into right standing with God. Whatever was wrong with you, between you and God, before you got born again, got washed away by the blood of Jesus. Your sins got remitted. Which brings us to Romans chapter 4, verse 8, which says he's not imputing sin to you. That means he's not keeping track of your sins. That's been taken care of by the blood of Jesus. Why is that so important? Because if you have a sin conscience, then you're going to have condemnation in your heart. And a lot of people think it's coming from God, punishing them somehow, chastising them somehow. That's not true, because Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. The minute you get born again, you're in Christ Jesus. You are in right standing with God. God is not imputing sins towards you. You have been redeemed from the curse of the law, 100%. Now you've been put in the dispensation of grace. What does that mean? It's not about you and your efforts. It's not about you and your ability. It's not about you and your talent. It's not about you and your knowledge. It's not about you how many times you go to church in a week. It's not about you and how long you spend praying. It's not about you how much fasting you do. It's not about you and how much time you spend reading the Bible. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. He is the only one that could ever fulfill the law. And he did that 100%. Every jot and tittle. He never broke the law at all, ever once. Not one time did he ever miss the mark. That's why it was illegal for Satan to put him on the cross. And because he got on the cross and took the punishment that we deserved, we get treated the way he deserved to be treated. Now do you get that? You're free. The Bible tells us to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty that you've been given. That means don't pick up the law. Don't start observing special days because you're going to try to attain to a certain level of righteousness. Don't do anything to try to earn your righteousness. You can't. You can't. The day you got born again, you got made as righteous as you're ever going to be. And in fact, the Bible tells us that he clothed you with the robe of righteousness. He clothed you with the robe of righteousness. You couldn't do it. The Bible tells us that our righteousness is as of filthy rags. What's that mean? That means our efforts to qualify for his blessings are as filthy rags. Now there's a teaching running around that says that righteousness is right doing, and that's an absolute lie from the pit of hell. Don't ever fall for that. Because I promise you, you will not be able to do right enough in order to qualify. Because the minute you start trying to do right in order to qualify for your blessings, whatever it may be, healing, peace, safety, prosperity, any kind of blessing that you need from God, the minute you start trying to earn your righteousness to get to that blessing, the devil is going to come and remind you how you failed. Look over to Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. We'll start at verse 28. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's kind of a cool verse. I will give you rest. You know what happens when you rest? You're not working. Actually, you have to sit down to rest. That means you're not earning. You're not working. He said, "Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Under the law, people really had to work. And actually, when the high priest went into the temple, when they went into the temple to serve in the temple, they could never sit down. You know, there's no chairs. They had all kinds of implements in there, but no chairs. They were not allowed to rest. When they were in that temple serving God in that place, they had to be standing up working constantly. But not you. You're supposed to sit down and chill out and relax and believe on Jesus. Also, in verse 29, he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn." Circle this part right here. Learn of me. It says, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." You know, I ran into a lot of people. I've dealt with a lot of people that are successful in what the world defines as success. And most of them are bald-headed or gray, wore out, have heart problems, high blood pressure. And they laid in bed at night worrying about how they was going to survive. They did everything right. They went to the right college. They did everything that they taught them in college. They taught from everything that they said that to be a success. You go to college, you get $500,000 in student loans, and then you go buy a 4-bedroom house for $1 million that's going to take you the rest of your life to pay off, and you get 2 cars, you have 2.5 kids, and you go to work every day, and you put this much money in the bank account, in the stock market, and drive yourself crazy until you got it all paid off and you get to enjoy it for 2 or 3 years. The world system stinks. The world system stinks to high heaven. That's not called living happy, joyous, and free. Also here, verse 30, he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now sometimes you get into things, you know, where it seems like the whole world. Have you noticed that there's people just falling apart all around us? Everywhere I turn, there's somebody falling apart. And we end up helping a lot of them, you know, but actually what I have to do all the time is say, "Jesus, I turn this over unto you. I'll do whatever I can do, but this is your kid, and I cast this care over onto you. We can do whatever we got to do, but it's ultimately, you got to cast that burden over onto him. But the main thing I want to focus on here in verse 29 is learn of me. Too many times, you know, when people need something, you know, whether they need healing or whether they need finances or whatever they may need, they need a spouse or whatever they need, they focus on that. And they just, that's 100% of their focus. And they study that. But Jesus said to learn of me. When you look to the cross and you learn of Jesus, your blessing is going to be there. It's all in Jesus. Don't chase the blessing. Chase the blesser. Go to the blesser. The blessing is in the blesser. It's all in him. And it's all been met. Now, we talked about having deliverance from challenges, and we talked about healing. So today, we're going to talk about another subject, and it'll be finances. You know, that's a pretty important subject. And for most of the church world, it seems like it's completely taboo. They're either in one ditch or the other. They either say, well, they have the attitude like God just wants you to be poverty stricken. And you just get along with what you got. Just give me enough to pay my bills and feed my kids and I'll be all right. That's stupid. That's not biblical. And it's actual prideful. And it's selfish. Then we have another ditch where, man, you spend 35 minutes before every church service talking about money. You know, hustling people for money. Then you pass the basket around, trying to get them to put some more money in the basket. You know, there are pulpiteers running around out there. And they get really mad at me. But I don't care. Because I've learned the truth from Jesus. Now, whenever you start talking about finances, see, here's the thing about a lot of the church. They run around saying, I'm saved by grace. Only Jesus could do that. I got healed by grace. Only Jesus could do that. I'm successful because of him. Only Jesus could do that. I'm prospered because I'm a tither. What happened? What changed? All of a sudden now, you got money because of your own efforts? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It says, for you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. Your finances got mad at the cross because of him. Now, tithing works. I know tithing works. I did that, and I still do that. I give. And here's the thing. The tithing, it opened my heart to receive from him. And the giving works. I did that too. And I still do it. It opened my heart to receive from him. The alms giving works. I did that too. I know it works. But what works better is receiving from Jesus so that I have something to give. When I stopped trying to earn it and started receiving it, And then it really started getting wild. And it got funner and a lot less stressful. You know, I would listen to teachings on tithing and giving. I was really sincerely trying to figure out what I needed to do. And I listened to any kind of teaching that I got my hands on. And it got so carried away. You know, I listened to a teaching one time and said, man, you can't let your tithes touch dirty money. You got to get it out of your bank. You can't put it in your bank account. You can't let your tithes touch dirty money. So I was so bad. I'd take my tithe money and my offering money and put it in a special box, not in my bank account. I didn't want it to touch dirty money. You know, if people would just stop and think about what they're doing, you know how much of that money that we put in the basket that's been in strip joints, that's been in crack houses, that's been rolled up and had cocaine snorted through it, how much of that money that has been through bars? Don't let your money touch dirty money.
Well, I'm still alive and I used to do a lot of this.
Yeah. Come on. Is it about you and your efforts, or is it really about Jesus and Him? We need to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now here's here's an important thing that everybody needs to understand, because I've seen people fall into this trap. You know, they come out of the world, they get born again. Maybe they had a hard life. You know, maybe, you know, a lot of times people have just all kinds of different wrecks before they get born again. And sometimes they really don't have much when they show up in church. You know, they don't have nice clothes. Maybe they don't have a nice truck. Maybe they don't have this or that, whatever it is. But they show up anyway, and they start seeing people with brand new trucks and big houses. And, you know, then they start feeling bad. It's important to remember this. Do not compare your budget-friendly lifestyle to people who use debt, because they are going to look like they're doing a whole lot better than they actually are. I was really shocked. I was hauling propane. I deliver propane, and I really didn't know much about what was going on. I just knew coal miners made a whole bunch of money. I mean, they make an insane amount of money. Well, I was going to deliver some propane to a coal miner's house, and my boss said, I don't care what you do, but you do not even hook up to that tank until he puts a $100 check in your hand. I said, what's this all about? I said, man, this guy's a coal miner. He said, I don't care. He's so broke, he can't even pay attention. And then I started learning that there's an attitude, if I can make the payment, I'll buy it. You see, that's why you couldn't buy a pickup hardly in that town I was in, because these coal miners, it didn't matter how much it cost, if they could make the payment, they'd buy it. These guys ran the pickup prices plumb through the roof, house prices plumb through the roof. Why? Well, the bank would loan them money on anything. Well, you know, you're working for the coal mine, you can make payments. So these guys had all the big pickups, all the big toys, the big horse trailers, the big houses, and they were broker than I was. Why? Because they had debt. I've seen a lot of people show up in churches fall for that trick. Say, I need to, you know, I want to be blessed like everybody else. So then they go buy a big old pickup. So they could show everybody how blessed they were. Debt is not a blessing. Debt is not a blessing. You become a servant to the lender. I've actually known people that have shuffled paper on cows and ranches all my life. And they're still shuffling paper. They've been shuffling paper for 50 years. They just renew notes. They've got to get one more note to keep going for next year. They're not living happy, joyous, and free. Now, one of the things that we absolutely have to understand is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says that my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, how is He going to supply these needs? Is it by our obedience? Is it by our efforts? No. And it says, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Because this is what gets people in trouble. You have to understand that God has already blessed you with something. I don't care if you only have two pennies to rub together. He blessed you with two pennies. Now, in order to keep this process in motion, He wants you to take one of those pennies and put it back into His kingdom. What happens is He takes that penny and He multiplies that back to you. So then you turn around, now you got five pennies. And He wants you to take a couple pennies, put back in the system so that you can have something to operate with. And then He blesses you with some more. But it's because He blessed you first that you have something to give. Amen? Now, He blesses you, and you could look at it like there's a funnel from heaven to you, and as long as He can keep that flowing through you, He can keep it coming to you. You'll be like the Sea of Galilee. There'll be life flowing through you. It'll be just flowing through you. Because you'll know that if you put some money into the kingdom, there's more where that came from. Because He gave it to you. There's more where that came from. And then, you know, you can get so far where you can start getting into creative love giving. You know, you can start giving what you don't know you have. That's when it gets really fun. You can make commitments and say, I'll do that, even though you don't have it. And you're not really sure where you're going to get it from, other than He's going to supply it to you, and then you'll be able to meet the need. Now, that's really fun. I like that. It's an exciting way to live. So remember, it's going to be according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, and according to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it's because He was made poor, we can be made rich. He took the curse of poverty upon Himself on that cross. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. He set you up for the blessing. How are we going to get from point A to point B? Go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And God gave us a key, absolutely. Joshua chapter 8, Joshua, chapter 8, or chapter 1, verse 8, I'm sorry, Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He told us what to do, and he told us what would happen. He told us to meditate on his word day and night. Then you shall have good success. So what are we going to do? We're going to find promises in the Word of God for the specific situation that we're facing. And we gave you one, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. You need finances. You need to understand that God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So what are you going to do? You're going to walk around meditating on that verse. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Is that going to bend God's arm to make Him do something? No. No, God is not a debtor to any man. But what it does is His word will change up. And it will open us up to receive from Him. And you have to have an answer to the devil, too. See, the devil, he's going to come up and say, you're going to starve. Don't you know that there's a recession? Don't you know that inflation is through the roof? Don't you know that interest rates are going crazy? Don't you know that this is going to happen and this is going to happen? I already got you down to eating 3 pancakes a week. Wait till you see what happens when you only get 2 pancakes a week. Well, you got to have something to say to him. He said, no, my God will supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Yeah, well, how is He going to do that? You know what? He fed a prophet with a raven. However He gets it to me, that's how He gets it to me. And that ain't none of my business. But He's going to get it to me. He'll get it to you. If He can get it through you, He'll get it to you. Now look over to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And this is, you know, we talk about the Deuteronomy blessings a lot. And this is a good one to stand on, especially if you're a rancher. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12 says, the Lord shall open unto you His good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. He'll bless the work of your hands. But guess what? You might have to get some leather gloves out and get your hands to doing something. See, a lot of people want to just sit around and wait for God to just do something for them. I got a really good insight for you. And you need to always remember this. The Holy Spirit will help you mow the lawn. And the Holy Spirit will help you take a nap in the hammock. But the Holy Spirit will not mow the lawn while you're taking a nap in the hammock. We live in a nation where it has empowered people to do nothing. Where starvation is no longer an option. Somebody's going to feed them. And this is what's so dangerous about this, is it has ruined people's imaginations. Their creative ability has been stripped away from them because somebody has met their needs. See, now they no longer have to be creative in finding ways to survive. That means they don't have to use their imagination to come up with ideas to get food. They don't have to use their imagination to come up with ways to receive from God, because there's somebody sitting there with their hand out to feed them. Now, do you see why America is in such a dangerous position? Why we're being out-invented by other countries? Other countries are just taking America to the cleaners because they had to figure out a way to survive. We got Americans, got their flags out every 4th of July, shouting about how free they are while they're standing there in a socialist country. Why do I say we're a socialist country? Because when they take your money and give it to somebody else to help them survive, that means you've slipped away from being a republic and you went into a democracy, and now it's mob rules. Do you see why the Constitution and the Bible go so closely together? Do you see now how much of our liberty has been stripped away from us? Now, I don't mind giving to poor people. I don't mind giving money to help people. I don't mind feeding people. I don't mind buying stuff for people. I don't mind that at all. But I don't want you to tell me who and how much. I'll let God decide that for me. Not some politician living in $1 million house in Washington, D.C. That's not going to happen. As many as are the sons of God can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. When we got the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, we got the biggest creative ability inside of us, the creator of the world inside of us. So many important inventions in this world have been discovered by tongue talkers. They dreamed about something. They meditated on something. They thought about something. The guy that invented the alloy for steel that made steel stronger, you know, he was a tongue talker? Spirit-filled Christian. And he's walking around in the mountains one day. And he said, God, won't you show me what I need for this? And God said, pick up that rock. The guy picked up the rock and he thought, yeah, whatever. So he put it in his pocket and he walked back. Anyway, he kept his rock and he got back to his lab. And he thought, I'll just throw this in this thing and see what happens. And he invented the alloy to make steel stronger. I ran into a tongue talker that invented a machine. And he was at my yard a lot when I had trucks. And he had this this thing was just weird. I mean, it just had pipes. There was a square thing, and it was just weird. And he could back up to a drilling pit, take drilling fluid out of the pit, run it through this machine, and it'd do whatever it did in this thing. When it came out the other side, you could drink that water. I said, "So how'd you come up with that?" And he said, "God, he told me how to do this. I don't understand." He said, it's beyond me. He just showed me what to do and how to do it. And I don't know why it works. He said, it just does. But he could do that. God gave him that idea. If we'll let God be God in our lives and let him spend some time in our head, let him spend some time in our head, not the devil. We can pray things up from the deep, and we can come up with some creative answers to the problems that we have. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, for your word, and we praise you for everything that Jesus has done for us. Father, we thank you for meeting our needs and blessing us with our wants. Father, we thank you that everything we need was met at the cross, that Jesus paid for it all. Our healing, our finances, our safety, our protection, our deliverance. Whatever it is we need, when we look unto Jesus, our Savior, our Blesser, our blessings are wrapped up in Him. And Father, we thank you that as you teach us how to open our hearts, that the blessings will flow supernaturally into us so that they can flow supernaturally out of us. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we got snacks.